Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up?
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
All right. Good morning. You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. We come here every single Monday morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights, and there's no smoking guns on our show. It's the real deal, holy seal, and we... You can't even believe it. It's already May. It's May the 2nd. Yes, it is. May the 2nd, 2022. Next thing you know, it's going to be summertime. And next thing you know, it's going to be 2023. Time is just flying by. But, boy, do we have a show for you today, a wonderful show for you today. And before we get into our topics and our subject matter, you know, I just want to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. There was a shooting in Arkansas, and actually it happened last month, okay? But in the shooting, 28 people were shot, and 7 of them were kids. Somebody just started shooting at a car show in Arkansas and shot 28 people, and 7 of them was kids, and 1 was a 1-year-old baby. The type of weapon that was found at this scene was called a ghost gun. So I want to talk about ghost guns, because ghost guns are very, very dangerous, because anybody can buy a ghost gun, and you don't need any ID. You don't need to prove if you're a criminal or not. You don't have to do anything. Just go up there and walk up there and take your money and buy a ghost gun. And you can put it together and you can make it work in less than an hour. So ghost guns are dangerous. The shooting that took place in Arkansas was dangerous. Innocent people just at a car show minding their own business. Two guys got into it and they just started shooting everybody. I mean, people that are trained with weapons don't do that. And that's why everybody shouldn't have a gun, because guns do not belong in everybody's hand, because they're dangerous. If I lay a gun in the middle of a floor for a year and never touch it, it's not going to shoot a soul. But the minute that gun gets in somebody's hand and they want to play God, they want to play whatever, then that's where the danger comes in. So good morning. Good morning, Sheila Timberlake. Good morning on Facebook Live. Please share. I'm Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook. Please share with all your friends. Share with all the Dorsey alumni. Hey, Gloria Majors. Good morning, Gloria Majors. Share with everybody. Share with your family, your cousins, your friends, your church members. Tell them to come on into the room with the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Right now I'm talking about the shooting that took place in Arkansas at a car show. I mean, you know, Arkansas, that's in the South. Everybody's enjoying the car show, looking at all the nice cars. All of a sudden, two guys get into it and they start shooting. And I don't know how many rounds they fired, but they fired a lot of bullets. And they hit 28 people, and seven of them were kids, and one was a one-year-old baby. Nobody deserves to be shot. I mean, you can't even go to a car show and enjoy the car show. You can't go out and walk with the marketplace at the marketplace, or you can't go do this and you can't go do that because somebody might have a gun and feel like they want to shoot somebody because they have a gun. So they go and start an argument with somebody so they can have a reason to pull the gun out and shoot people. And that's crazy. It's cray-cray. It's ridiculous. You know, thank you for sharing, Sheila. Gloria, you can share it with somebody too. Just share the show with somebody. I am honored beyond words to be on with you this morning. What a wonderful day at church yesterday. What a wonderful day at church. And, you know, God is just working miracles because the devil is busy. You know, the devil is busy. The devil was right there in Arkansas. 28 people shot. And one died so far. One died. And we don't know about, we know the 28 people suffered gunshot wounds. So what does that tell me? If you're shooting for that long with that many bullets and you hit 28 people, my God. Felita Wilts, good morning, Felita Wilts. How are you on Facebook Live? Please share this with everybody. Please share it with somebody. Thank you so much. Good morning. Good morning. God bless you guys on Facebook Live. Go to Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook Live. You can see me right here, sitting here, producing the show as we go right now. And I want to get in the studio our co-producer, Brother Clarence M. Allen. So without further ado, good morning, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Good morning. How are you this morning? Welcome to the show.
What's going on, Pastor Eddie? These cowards are what's going on.
Yes, sir.
They are cowards.
Yes, sir.
They are cowards. If you got to carry a gun outside, you're no gang member, you're no gang banger, you not no tough guy, you are a coward. You're too scary to deal with any situation with your mind by civil communication, understanding, forgiveness, looking through and working our way through any situation. These cowards are filled with hate and they need a gun. They will not come out the house without one. We just had a shooting this weekend here in California at a carnival. So it's hot. Mm. But let me just say thank you to all our wonderful listeners throughout the land.
Yes.
Once again, you have tuned into the world's greatest Monday morning radio show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Show. Come on, buckle in, get your seatbelt, your chin strap, your goggles, your helmet, and hold on to your seat because with this show, we're going to be in for a ride. So thank you for having me once again, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to all of my co-hosts, co-producers. Thank Almighty God for a man such as yourself. Thank you, Pastor Eddie.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Brother Clarence. Hey, thank you. Hey, Senior, how are you? Good morning, Senior. Do me a favor. Share this with all your family. Share it with everybody. Thank you for sharing, Sheila Timberlake. Thank you for sharing, Felita. We'll share it with somebody. Good morning. And good morning, Senior. How are you? And how is your wonderful Skinstations? I want to shout out Skinstations. And that's where you're going. You get your facial done and everything. Boy, I tell you, man, Skinstations, they're so good. Google Skinstations and go there and get your facial. Get whatever you need. They do it for you. She's an estheticianist, and she is so good. I've been there myself. I have my face done and everything. They're wonderful. They're fantastic. I dare you to look them up and check them out. And Skinstations. Hey, Senior, God bless you and the family. And congratulations on your son graduating. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want to say right now, I want to get in the studio without further ado. I want to get in Professor Reams. Good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning, Professor Reams?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. I'm just fine. Blessed as usual. Wonderful day to be in the neighborhood, and God has given us another present because we're here and we have the gift of his grace and mercy. And good morning to the regulator, and I share the same thoughts about the murder that's happened with 28, and the regulator has spoken, and I agree with him 100%. So with all of you, yes, as we said before, and as was said overall with this, hold on. We're going to dive into a deep dive of the real deal Holyfield, and also, but show how the mercy of God is always in the throne, and that this too shall pass, and that this Monday we always started off with a wonderful topic or topics that will challenge us, but also keep us on the front end of knowing his grace and mercy at the same time. So with that, good morning, and good morning to all the co-hosts,
Professor,
as well as my co-producers. Yes.
Yeah, praise God. It's such an honor to have you on, Professor. We're going to get in Vera Jones. Vera Jones, welcome to the show. Good morning, Vera. How are you? Welcome to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show.
Good morning, Eddie. Professor Reams, Clarence, all the listeners, I am doing wonderful.
Amen. Praise God. Go ahead, Brother Clarence. Go ahead.
Man, I'm just saying, grand rising to the Queen, Granny V.
The doctor's in the house.
Amen.
Yeah, Granny V, how you doing? So anyway, how are you doing there, Granny V? You all right? Everything good?
Yes, everything is good. I'm just coming back a little late from my morning walk, but I should be back in the house in about 3 to 5 minutes. So if you hear any noise in the background, I'm out.
Well, that's okay. We're just happy to have you on this morning. We can't wait for health and wellness. I'm looking forward to health and wellness. And what a show we
Amen.
Have people right
we
now.
We all need it, Eddie.
Yes, we do.
Dr.
We need
Granny
health and wellness. We're talking about a very important topic. This is not our main topics that we're going to talk about. This is just some news. 28 people were shot in Arkansas at a car show. It happened about a month ago. But here's the problem. They were using ghost guns. That's what this topic is about, ghost guns, not just the shooting. The shooting is bad. Don't get me wrong. When you shoot a one-year-old baby and you shoot 7 kids and 21 adults at a car show, you know, people just go to a car show because they love to see cars. They want to see some beautiful cars, not go to the show and somebody pulls out a gun and it just happens to be a ghost gun, which is actually untraceable. When you buy a ghost gun, it's untraceable. It's not registered. It's no serial numbers. It's a ghost gun, just like they say. It's invisible. So I want to shout out to our lawmakers out there who are making these laws and creating the laws that they need to do something about these ghost guns because they're using them at mass shootings. Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Lori Melowitz. Good morning. God bless you. God bless you, Pastor Lori. Please, Pastor Lori, share this show with somebody. Share it with somebody. And, Pastor Lori, if you can call into the show, the number is 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. And then you press 1. The reason why I want you to call in, Pastor Lori, is because these ghost guns are out of control on our streets. And 28 people were shot at this car show in Arkansas, in the state of Arkansas. A one-year-old baby was shot, and 7 kids were shot, and 21 adults were shot, young people. And we need to pray about these ghost guns that are getting in people's hands that have no serial numbers. You don't need a California ID. You don't need nothing. If you walk up and you got cash, you can buy a ghost gun. That's how simple it is. And that's too simple, because it gets in the hands of people who are not in their right mind, and they feel like they're God. And so if you pull out a gun at a car show and you just shooting, you not aiming, you just shooting. Good morning, Wanda Long. Welcome to the show on Facebook Live. Please share the show with somebody. I'm asking everyone to share the show with somebody this morning. So I want to go to our panel real quick before we go into our main topics. This is just news, ghost guns, and I want Lori, if you can call in, Minister Pastor Lori, and pray about this, Elder Lori, pray about this, these ghost guns on our street. Without further ado, I want to go to, what is the number? The number is 646-787-8064, 646-787-8064, and then press 1, and it'll put you in the queue, and we'll get you on right away so we can pray about the 28 people that were shot, including the one-year-old baby, and then the ghost guns. We want the ghost guns to be dealt with by the law, and they're not being dealt with by Congress right now because Congress is so busy giving $33 billion to Ukraine. It's going to be, by the time they get finished, Ukraine's going to be getting $33 billion. But we have a homeless situation in the United States of America. It only takes $1 billion. We can help someone else solve their war and fight a bigger country, but we don't want to get these homeless people in a shelter off the streets and off the and take care of their mental disabilities and take care of their drug problems and any other problem that they might have. But that's a whole nother subject matter. I'm waiting for you to call in, Elder Lori, Minister Lori, Pastor Lori, call into the show. 646-787-8064. Now, without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. What's going on with these ghost guns? What's going on with these the shooting in Arkansas? Go right ahead. Take the floor.
Well, Pastor Jones, you've laid out the issue that occurred. Now, dealing with the ghost guns themselves, again, these are guns that are firearms that are privately assembled and untraceable. So it means that a whole dark black market has been created so that people can buy a build shoot kit and then put the parts together and then have access, or if they can have the kit, they can then get a 3D printer and create their own guns. It's almost like if you not going to the local gun shop or so, because then that's heavily regulated. So kudos to the laws that are there, especially in California, where you have to have a permit, you have licensure, and all, and also shown that you've had some training in using the firearm. Folks are just creating their own and using them as they wish. And for the most part, many of these things has been banned. But now we get into the mentality of the folks who are interested in dealing with this, and the Biden administration has done a crackdown. Now, whether they can get something through Congress, that's the other thing, because the major issue is the NRA that seems to block everything, and then you have the backers and donors that are supporting the other side that tries to slow these bills down because they feel that it's affecting their Second Amendment right to bear arms. So we're in a stalemate on addressing it. So it means that, okay, let's not focus on the federal part because it's a gridlock. Focus on the state point of view because you can have a better active, influence, especially with the governor and then the city, in order to start city regulations that would then ban these. Now, the thing that comes is the problem is how do you enforce it? Do you go around to everyone's house and try and find out if they're armed or not? Or do you make them go to a registry or so? Because if you're going to do that, then the folks are still going to go underground, find a kit, or get a 3D printer that their friend has and make these guns illegally anyway. And since this happened in so California, we have a better little better opportunity to identify because of all the things that have been going on here. Arkansas, the laws might be a little more liberal since, again, it's a red state. Not to put it down as a red state, but then there's the red state of you have the right to be armed. Second Amendment, the whole nine yards, and you're not going to touch that. So unless this becomes a major epidemic in Arkansas, they'll just brush it under and say and do the usual where they'll blame the victim and say that, well, the victim needs help. Well, how can you blame the victim when the culture is surrounding guns is there that promotes this in the first place? And even if we have prayer, these things are definitely going to happen depending on, and it would be interesting to see what the motive behind it for all the shootings in the first place. Was it just done randomly to show the person's in control? Or was there something, vengeance that was going to go on because of conflict between that and the show owners? Mm-hmm. That would be interesting to find out. So this is where we are, where there is no answer. And the obvious answer is, of course, to remove access to guns, but then you still have ways of people being able to get their own kits and do it illegally anyway. So that's where we are. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you for that. Thank you for that information. Let's give a big hand there. Thank you for that information. Information is very, very important, and ghost guns are very, very dangerous. And if you can go home and assemble a ghost gun, or you can go up to some guy or somebody or some business and buy a ghost gun, and then you shoot in the crowd, that doesn't make you a man. That doesn't make you a man because you can shoot in a crowd of people. You can shoot a one-year-old baby. You can shoot seven kids and shoot 21 adults. That doesn't make you a man. Hey, Demita J., how are you? It's so good to have you on Facebook Live. We have none other than Pastor Milowitz. Pastor Lori, good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning, Pastor? Caller in the 860-532. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Caller 32, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. How are you this morning, Pastor?
I'm here. 32, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. How are you this morning?
Yeah,
well,
we hear a little echo in the background. We hear a little echo in the background. If you have two, things on at one time, you might have to turn one down, and just we can hear you on the phone without the echo. Are you there? Hallelujah! Praise God! Are you there?
Is the echo still there?
No, ma'am. It's not there anymore. How you doing, Pastor? How have you been?
Is the echo still there?
No, ma'am. It's not there anymore. How you doing, Pastor? How have you been?
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah, the echo is still going on there in the background. It came back.
Oh, yeah, the echo is still going on there in the background. It came back.
Maybe I should turn Facebook off?
Yes, turn Facebook off. Or just turn it down. Turn it all the way down. Yeah, turn Facebook all the way down.
Okay,
just turn the volume all the way down on Facebook.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, turn Facebook all the way down. Just turn the volume all the way down to Facebook. Turn Facebook all the way down. Just turn the volume.
Okay.
Okay, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Everybody say good morning to Pastor Lori. Hallelujah. Everybody say good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning,
Pastor
Lori.
Good
morning.
Welcome to the show.
It's such a pleasure to have you on this morning. Now, 28 people were shot in Arkansas. One was a one-year-old baby. Several kids were shot, and they were all under the age of 15. And then 21 young adults were shot by somebody, two guys who pulled out ghost guns, and they started shooting at each other with ghost guns, which ghost guns cannot be traced. And they're, you could buy them on the black market. And that's why they call them ghost guns. So, you know, Pastor Milowitz, you're always praying for people. You're always giving food away. You're always touching people's lives. I mean, every morning on the way to school when you're dropping off the kids, you guys all pray. The kids pray. I know that you're a praying woman of God, and we need some prayer right now on the Eddie Jones Radio
Amen.
Talk Show about things that are going on, because the devil is so busy right now stealing away young, innocent lives with these ghost guns. And these ghost guns are popping up in all these big shootings at the malls. All these shootings, they all been ghost guns. So without further ado, please take the floor and lead us in some prayer, some cleansing and some purging of these ghost guns. Amen.
Amen. Father, we first humble ourselves, oh God. Lord God, whatever it is that we have not done as far as interceding, praying, and seeking your face, hearing your voice, God, we ask that you forgive us. Lord God, we want to come humbly before you, our God, touching and agreeing and being on one accord about these ghost guns. Lord God, we know that our children in these days, last days that we are living in, the enemy is trying to destroy not just our children, but a race, especially the black race, God, our young boys and our daughters and our children, God, and poverty and all these things, Lord God, has caused our children to act out because the enemy sees and he knows what's going on, and he will use any means and anyhow to try to destroy and get rid of and drag people to hell with him. We know hell has enlarged itself, and he's after our children. But Almighty God, we come humble before you, Lord God. We come lifting up, Lord God, our children in this governmental system, this earthly realm that we're living in, oh God, and this wickedness that's all around us, Lord God, that is putting these guns in the hands of our children. Father, we know, Lord God, that you hear us, oh God, when we call out unto you. You say, call, and while we're yet speaking, you will answer, God. You hear before even one word is uttered out of our mouth. And Father, we know that you are in control. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like or sounds like, Father, you are in control. And you said, you promised, oh God, that you will remove the oppression. You will remove the oppressors, God, that is oppressing our young people and oppressing this nation, God, and all around, Lord God, in Detroit, California, Connecticut, all around, Lord God, where our children, Lord God, have been duped, oh God, have been bewitched, oh God, have been, Lord God, just fooled by the enemy. They don't care about taking a life. And Father, we come against these ghost guns, God. We come against them, oh God, that Lord God, we will, as the people of God, we will stand up, Lord God, and voice our voices, and we will cry out and fear not, Lord God. We as the body of Christ and as the church will wake up. Wake
yes,
up, oh God,
yes,
and be about your business. Because nothing shall be able to pass unless we allow it to pass. Because you said to occupy, Lord God, until you return. And we have the control, Lord God.
Yes, we do.
And what's
Hallelujah.
Wrong with this picture, Father? We thank you, Almighty God, that we will be in tune more in prayer. We will hear your voice, God. Not a voice of a stranger we will not know, nor will we follow. But we are your children who are called by your name, God. And, Father, we come boldly before you, Lord God, asking, oh, God, that you move expediently, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Remove these guns, Father. We thank you right now, Lord, that we touch and agree and we declare and we decree it so, Father. In the name of Jesus, whatever it takes, oh God, however you go about it, Father God, we know that we have the victory already because we trust in you. We trust in you, Father. You said to trust in you with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all our ways, and you shall direct our paths, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we plead the blood of Jesus over our children. We plead the blood of Jesus over our cities. We plead the blood of Jesus over our communities. We plead the blood of Jesus over these ghost guns. in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We cry out unto you. You said to seek you while you are near, while you may yet be found, God. And we seek in you, God, like never before, because so much is happening, Father, with Ukraine, and as my brother said, and even here, so much homelessness, God, so much poverty, God. And when a man is without, Lord God, they would do anything. Our children, God, our children have sold out their souls to the devil, Father, and we take it back. We take our children back from the enemy's camp. In the name of Jesus, you can't have them. Our children and our grandchildren. Father, we thank you that we trust in you like never before. We repent as a people and we repent as a nation in the name of Jesus, as the body of Christ, God. We thank you in all these prayers and we pray, God, expecting, God, you to move, God. And whatever it is you need from us, God, we will seek your face on it and we will move expeditiously, God. We will move, Father God, as you move us out as an army, as a kingdom, because you are the God who governs this land. You govern us, God, and we will allow you to govern us, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Bless the government. Bless Eddie and what he's doing. Bless the people that is working with him, God. Bless them as he continues to, Lord God, advocate, Lord God. Father, everything that's going on in our cities and our surrounding areas, God, as you use him mightily, oh God, to get the word out. Our job is to continuously to pray, God, without ceasing to pray. Lord God, because he, Lord God, is being used by you in a different way, in a different manner, God. But, Lord God, we respect the gift that you have placed on the inside of him to get the word out, to be Eddie fighting for justice. And, Lord God, because we as your people, we want justice, and we know that you do too, Father. And you are not just a loving and caring God, but you also a just God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
God. Can we give God some glory right now? Can we give him a little hallelujah and some glory right now? Because without God, it means nothing. I want to thank our sister
hallelujah.
Charlene Titus. I want to shout out Sister Charlene Titus. Pastor Lori, she said, good morning. This is sad. I wish we did not have guns. Father, help God deliver the people from demons and the oppression of demons and in Jesus' name. And then she went on to say, thank you, Jesus, for our family that are still alive and well. Bless those that lost loved ones. Send your comforter to comfort their hearts.
Touch
and save their families. And I just want to thank everyone. She also said, yes, God, your mercy is every day. Thank you for walking with us and this morning to seek your face, God. So people are responding on Facebook Live. And thank you guys on Facebook Live for responding to the prayer. And thank you for coming on. And please share it with somebody. And yes, this is a civil rights talk show where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights.
Yeah.
But we also talk about God, and we pray on this show because much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power.
Hallelujah.
So we need much power, hallelujah, over the situation that we're dealing with in our lives right now. And the devil's been busy in all of our lives. We all have some sort of testimony that we could testify right now about what God brought us through just over this weekend alone.
Yes.
So, you know, hallelujah, praise God. So without further ado, I'm going to go back to the topic at hand. These are not our main topics. This is just some news that I wanted to talk about. When you shoot 28 people, that means you're just shooting in a crowd. And you hit a one-year-old baby. And then you hit seven kids. And then you hit 21 adults, young adults. And then they find out that both of the guns that they were all using were ghost guns that are untraceable. So you heard the prayer. Please hold that up in prayer that we get these ghost guns off our streets and we stop the people that are selling the ghost guns with no ID, required, as long as you have cash. That I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because you know a ghost gun is going to get into the wrong hands of somebody that shouldn't have a gun at all, period. But they want to play God so bad. And they find out that after they shoot whoever they're going to shoot, and when they forgot that they got to get, they're going to get the same thing that they give out to somebody else. God is real. He said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, and he said he will fight our battles. So the same person is out there doing that dirt, eventually, and it will catch up with you. It will catch up with you. It might not get at you right that. God said he don't come when you want him to, but he's right on time. So we serve an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
And he will handle HYB. That's all I got to say. Hey, God, HYB. What is HYB? Handle your business. Let God handle your business. Amen. HYB. Let God handle your business. And watch God show up and show out. Amen. Moni Scott, Evangelist Moni Scott, thank you for joining us this morning. It's such an honor and a pleasure. Please share the show with somebody, Evangelist Moni Scott, Minister Moni Scott, such a pleasure. Now, I want to go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, how do we get these ghost guns off our streets, man? These people are shooting kids. They don't care who they shoot. They just want to shoot somebody. What do we do, Brother Clarence? Take the floor.
Yes, first of all, Pastor Eddie, you know, on this show, we talk about my rights, your rights, the rights of everyone who will visit and see this show. We talk about our human rights. We talk about our constitutional rights. But last week was Victims' Right Week. And Saturday, yes, I went to two wonderful events, one hosted by LaWanda Hawkins. I got to give a shout-out to her. And Justice for Murdered Children. They had a event at Ted Watkins Park in Watts. And every year she has these banners with, I mean, hundreds of people who've been murdered in our street by gang violence, domestic violence, you name it, kids, teenagers, adults, law enforcement, you name it, all walks of life. And then after that, I went to an event over in South Park Saturday where they had a two-in-one event, one for the 30-year commemoration of the Rodney King trial, those officers who were found not guilty for Rodney King.
Yes.
And at the same time, the 30-year anniversary of the gang's peace treaty. A phenomenal event. Montel Jordan came out and did his song. He's a pastor now, praise God.
And
so, you know, with free food, they had kid jumpers, jobs, all kind of other resources with their mental health, toiletries, you name it. And so the thing was, during about the end of the event, after the entertainers, the speakers, the mayor, Eric Garcetti was there. Curran Price was there. Man, it was a wonderful event. Shout out to Pastor Shepherd, who from the United We Stand Up organization hosted this event, Pastor Eddie, and to our listeners.
Yes.
At the end of the event, man, you got these youngsters. This is a peace event that couldn't get along. And so now the next thing you know, here come all of LAPD, man. They had their battle gear on. I even put a post on my Facebook page where they straddled out along the park getting ready to clear the park, man. It's such a shame. But, you know, going back to, you know, you can't have a peace event without some idiot or idiots wanting to make themselves the star of a show that they have nothing to do with, you know. You could leave. You could keep that at home. We don't need to see you.
No, not at all.
We don't need to see your ignorance. And so going back to Arkansas, I was looking at that article where they arrested one guy, made bail, still looking for two others. The police doesn't want to call it a mass casualty crime or whatever they call that. Yeah. But these ghost guns are here to stay because you can get you a digital printer and actually make them yourself. So long as there's money to be made, evil to have its way each and every day, bad intentions these ghost guns are going to be here. But like I said at the beginning of the show, we have a world mm-hmm. full of cowards. And not only
yes,
we have
do.
A world full of cowards, we have a system full of people who've been influenced to do a job for an adversary that all they have to do is supply them with the hatred, the weapon, the drugs, and they will go out and help them kill us off. Because the average shooter is shooting at his own people. He won't join
That's
the Army, the Navy, the Marines, or the Air Force and go out and stand up for this nation, for his community. He won't be a sheriff, a police officer, state highway patrol, or anything to protect the community. So the criminal enterprise that influenced this nation was built on all of these evils we see that's happening, and we are infested with it. We have been doted with it. And so now we need many different antidotes. You know, in my mind, the church alone cannot do it. It's going to take each individual. It's going to take individual family. It's going to just take a whole different reconstruction of our culture, our family values, community lifestyle and values to change this, you know. But with the oppressions, the discriminations, the racial profilings and all that hatred, man, and then you see a people who are oppressed, they come out their house, they see people with new cars, these shiny diamonds, expensive chains, they living a good life. And it seems like they have no opportunity. They say, well, I'm going to get a gun and go take mine. And although it might look nice and good, they can even lose, and in some cases lose their own life going to try and take something from somebody else that went out and worked and earned it. So these ghost guns are here to stay. They're not going nowhere past yet, and as long as evil has its way, it's just something we're going to have to be faced a challenge against.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Brother Clarence. Hey, let's give a hand for Brother Clarence. He just shared some, wow. Now, Brother Clarence.
Regulator. Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Regulator. You regulated that situation. I want to send a shout out to Minister Terry Herbert. Thank you, Minister Terry Herbert, for joining us, and much love to you and your family as well. Thank you for the love. Thank you. Shout out to everybody who's listening on Facebook Live. Please tell a friend and share it with somebody. And, thank you. And then Sister Charlene said, Sister Charlene Titus said, they're not going to ever get rid of those ghost guns. And the government is part of the problem because the government is sneaking them into our communities. And that's exactly what they're doing. That's how they found those guns over in Compton. Yes, hallelujah. She says she has children, nieces and nephews and all that. And we worry about our family members going out, especially our young men that are between the ages of 12 and 18 years old. We just can love on them and tell them, hey, be careful, you know, and don't be out there doing nothing you shouldn't be doing, and stay out of trouble and stay away from people who want to get in trouble. and we just have to keep practicing. We miss you too, Minister Terry Herbert. We miss you too. Without further ado, I want to welcome to the show my daughter, Talana Jones. Welcome to the show, Talana Jones. Good morning. How are you this morning, Talana?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. And good morning to Professor, and good morning to you, my precious dad, even though I'm not supposed to say that on the show. I love you guys. Good morning to Dr. Granny. Good morning to Clarence, and good morning to all the guests and listeners. Happy Monday, everybody. God bless. Good morning,
hey, everybody.
Talana. My butterfly.
Good morning, Talana.
Wow. And so I want to go one more time. I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera, you know, these ghost guns, the shooting in Arkansas, 28 people shot. That means they just pulled out the gun and just started shooting. You know, that means everybody was just target practice. It's just a terrible thing. What do you think could be the solution, Vera, to these heinous crimes with these guns in the malls and on the streets and even at the schools? What do you think?
Well, Eddie, I am saddened to hear about this taking place. it appears that love is lost. There is no love. There is no care. And as we know, a lot of those that have developed the ghost guns, hey, they study that. They study that, how to make it, how to create it. And it's even on YouTube. So
yes, we
have to keep love and prayer in our lives and the lives of those we love and for the universe.
Wow, wow. Praise God. Thank you, Vera, so much for sharing that. Talana, I'm going to come to you, Talana, and then we're going to close out and we're going to get on our main topics. Talana, what do you think about the ghost guns that are on the street that can't be traced by the police department? You can't trace them back to anybody. You can just shoot somebody with them and throw them away and keep on going about your business. What do you think about that?
I just have one word to describe what I've listened to the entire panel say. It's famine. When killing is amidst, when people can get away with murder, shoot and kill children innocently. I mean, like, the Jesus, Lord. The bullets had no names. It's really tragic. I pray for all the families in need right
Amen,
now
me too.
Who are going through any type of grief. And, that's sad. I pray God have mercy, but I know vengeance is coming back to whoever did that. And I pray God have mercy on his soul. But that's I believe that the stronger that the heavenly army gets, the closer God is. So let's
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jelana, so much. I want to send a shout-out to a few people on Facebook Live. Eddie Justice Jones, Jr. on Facebook. Sharon Washington Abram, my friend from Susan Miller Dorsey High School, my Dorsey alumni. Hey, what's up, Sharon? And Debbie Taylor, all the way out there in the ATL in Atlanta. What's up, Debbie? We miss you in L.A. God bless you, Debbie Taylor. Please share the show with somebody. Good morning to you, too. And share the show with somebody. Okay, we talked about the shooting that happened in Arkansas where 28 people were shot, one one-year-old baby, seven kids were shot, and 21 adults. But the main subject matter out of that is that they were using ghost guns, and ghost guns are dangerous because you can't trace them back. So we're praying. We had prayer with Pastor Lori prayed with us this morning all the way from the East Coast. She prayed for us and with us, and we talked about it a little bit. We heard from Facebook. I love it when you guys on Facebook share your thoughts, you know, when you type in your thoughts in there, whatever we're talking about. But now we're getting ready to hit a topic that's really, really important. And it's really, really, I mean, you already see we're in the last days. You can look in your Bible. You can go to church, and you can hear that we're living in some very, very, I mean, between coronavirus and the homeless problem and the crime in the streets, and I call it COVID-19 post-traumatic stress syndrome, the way people are acting, it is out of control, which brings me to our next topic. And our next topic is, our first topic is, discussion is famine in America, and what can we do about it? Is famine here in America and coming to America, and what can we do about it, and what will we do? Because you can look around and see, I don't know if you've ever been noticing, but they're not saying it on the news, but General Mills got burnt down. And you know how many things that General Mills produces? They don't just produce cereal. They make all kinds of stuff. They make potatoes. They make all kinds of stuff. General Mills is just a big, big food company. Another food company was burnt down. They've been burning down these big, large food companies. Just look it up. They won't tell you. They're not talking about it on the news, but they're doing it. Large cattle they're crossing pigs over with bulls now to make meat. You can look it up on. You could go to Google. Go to YouTube, and then just type in pig crossover with a cow or a bull to make more meat. And it's the ugliest looking creature you ever seen. And that's what they're going to be feeding people. Steaks are $12.99 a pound, $15.99 a pound. A slab of bacon is $10.99 a pound for just a regular package of bacon. Huh? I'm keeping it real. Thank you, Moni Scott. And thank you, Minister Terry Herbert. Minister Terry Herbert said, praise God for the prayers going forth against the evil. Much love, beautiful sister prophetess Lori Milowitz. And she is a prophet. Trust me, she is. And thank you, Minister Terry Herbert. And thank you, Sister Moni Scott, Evangelist Moni Scott, for what you just said. We better get ready. We better get ready, because if you're not ready, when this famine hits, and it's coming, just like it did in the Bible. And it says, store up your storehouse. Store up your storehouse. Hallelujah. Because, hallelujah, yes, we are. We're living, Sister Charlene Titus said from Facebook Live, yes, we are. We are living in the book of Thessalonians and the book of Revelation. Hallelujah, praise God. And this is, you can look and read it for yourself. When you go in a store and you see certain things off the shelf that are normally on the shelf and they're not there, where do you think they are? They don't have any. And whoever's going to get it is going to be the elite people who they feel they have the most money is going to get the most stuff. And I kid you not, I am so happy right out on my balcony right now. Thank you, Lord. I want to shout out someone who believes in nurturing gardens. I have some cilantro growing out on my balcony. I have some tomatoes growing on my balcony. I have some green onion growing on my balcony. I'm going to have some mustard greens, turnip greens, reddish. I'm going to start growing my own food. And you need to take that under consideration. Hallelujah. Minister Moni Scott said, we are truly living in the last days. They are using pandemic as an excuse. I've been trying to tell people about this pandemic. I've been trying to tell people that this is a man-made pandemic because they said they wanted to depopulate the world. So when Microsoft Bill Gates said 10 years ago, 11 years ago, he wanted to depopulate the world. And then I wondered, how are they going to do that? Well, coronavirus was the perfect thing for them to depopulate the world. And around the world, the whole world was shut down. They shut down the whole world. The whole world was shut down. Okay? Not half the world. The whole world was shut down with coronavirus. Okay? And guess what? Millions of people from around the world died. They can't even give you the numbers on how many people died from coronavirus alone. But millions, millions. And, yeah, Donald Trump had a lot to do with this. He really did. He wouldn't wear a mask, but he wants you to wear a mask. And he's masking the whole situation. Okay, not just masking his face, but masking the whole situation. Yes, it was a genocide. Thank you, Minister Moni Scott. It was a genocide. It is a genocide. It's a premeditated conspiracy to steal human life. Because they don't, if you're dead, they don't have to pay your Social Security. They don't have to pay your pension plan. They don't, okay? Wake up. That's less money that they got to give you that you've already worked for. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's just so weird that we're going through this right now. But let's talk about this again. I want to talk to you about famine in America. When you see the homeless situation the way that it is, you see people eating out of the trash cans, and then you see people that have jobs and have a place to stay, but they're still out there hustling on the side because the rent is $2,500 a month for a one-bedroom in Los Angeles, California. It's out of proportion. Everything is gone sky high. And now the gas. Don't forget the gas. That's part of the punishment. The people are going to replenish what the gas companies lost by them raising the prices so high that it's completely ridiculous. When you got to go pay $7 a gallon for gas, come on, when have you ever in your life spent $7 a gallon for gas? Never until now, because they control everything. The government controls everything. The government will control, oh, my gosh, $108 to fill up your tank, Charlene? My gosh, wow. And guess what? And some of these people with these big old trucks, they pay them more than that, you know. So people are buying electric cars now. That's the future. And I just want to let you know, by 2035, there'll be no more gas cars sold in America. By 2035. So write that down on your calendar. By 2035, there will be no more gas cars sold in America. Google it. Look it up. I don't talk about nothing on the show that I haven't analyzed and evaluated and read and studied for myself, because I don't want to come on here half-cocked, half-stepping. There is no smoking guns on our show. This is the real deal, Holyfield. We keep it real. Shouting you out, Sheila Timberlake, and all my Susan Miller Dorsey High School alumni. Shouting y'all out. I'm on the executive board of the alumni of Dorsey, and we got a big, big celebration coming up, the 85-year reunion of the existence of Susan Miller Dorsey High School. And I'm honored beyond words. I just want to send a shout-out to the Susan Miller Dorsey High School Alumni Board. God bless you. We got to keep praying for this. But without further ado, I want to go to Professor Enzar. He's a real professor, a professor of social justice, and he does our commentary on the show. He's also a great musician. He's a doctor in music. So without further ado, Professor Enzar, take the floor. Is famine on its way to America, or is famine already in America? What can we do? Go ahead, Professor Reams.
Well, what we can say is that a bit of both, because the fact that over the years we've seemed to have a population where food famine insecurity has been a problem. It's increased because now you have about 11 to 12% of the population that are constantly under hunger, under issues of hunger. And now with the coronavirus here, it just added to it, because a lot of the problem is not the fact that food is not produced. It's the fact, first of all, we're importing food to other countries, and that we have often more than criticized for having more than enough food than what we can do with. The problem comes up is access, and that this has been used, as Pastor Glory mentioned, where the enemy is, to try and control the population in some way, shape, or form. So you look at where the food, what they're calling food insecurity happens, it's happening in your southern states and also rural areas where access to food is pretty much difficult. And in that sense, it also is on poverty lines, because the poor you are, the lack of money you have, you're able to have to choose between having gas and having food by increasing how much everything costs. And then we have food deserts where there is no place for anyone to buy anything because of the large agribusinesses that have formed. Because what it used to be, where we didn't hear about it, it says that it was in lower numbers, was that you had mom-and-pop grocery stores that were in the neighborhoods. Well, when it merged together to form a giant super farm or agribusiness, then they pulled out from the local areas, causing food deserts to where there's nowhere for people to go in those places to have access to adequate food. You mix that with poverty, you mix that with lack of access, and then you mix that with folks playing around with how the food is distributed. You're going to have areas where it would seem like there is major famine going on. So that's why I say it's both, because there's always been a level of that going. It's just that we don't hear about it. So I'm working with one organization of Feeding America, which has been tirelessly trying to make sure that the equity to having fair food has been in there, plus trying to fight for legislation that makes food a right, you know, being fed a human right, no different than civil rights, of which this country has opposed for many years. And it comes back to the William Lynch memo and all the things that is associated with our prophet, Clarence Allen, is that poverty usually hits people of color higher than the majority. So if you go to black, every time there's a major correlation that when you have a large concentration of African Americans, blacks, then it's only one grocery store, and then they have to travel all over the place somewhere else to find food. There is always a discouragement of people growing their own food in their backyards and things, because then the businesses would suffer, because then you wouldn't go to the stores in the urban areas. So urban areas have access to more food than the rural areas, but the rural areas have more grocery stores, just that they're so far apart. Now, with these recent burnings and things that are going on with the access to food, then, yeah, that's something to take a look at, because you're creating more instability. But also, let's remember, we're in an election year and we are divided, where one group who has access wants to bring back an authoritarian and will do anything to discredit the other side by showing high inflation, by all these other things that are going on, and causing all these problems, so that the message will come back that vote us back in and we'll make everything better and make everything lower, but with the idea that should they get in, they're going to take away all the rights even faster than what we have now. So we have to look at the whole picture of what is happening at this point in time. So yes, it's here. Yes, it can be controlled. And with the demands of all the programs I've been with, they've been demanding that action be taken. I mean, they have the SNAP program. They have all these other federal programs that give access to folks. But because we don't have a constitutional right that this is a right that must be fulfilled, then it's anyone's guess. So in California, you may have more openness to try and get everything over, whereas in some of the other poorer states, they just don't have the resources. So it can vary by location. But just to let you know, the states that are having the most challenge, let me pull this up here. It's Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama, Louisiana, Nevada, Michigan, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Texas, Kentucky, and Ohio, where they're having the most and the highest rate of food insecurity to the present. That's a lot of states. That's 10 to 11 states out of 50 where folks are going hungry, more so than normal. So it's here. So what do we do next? It's, you know, we're paying attention. We're getting behind. We have the food banks. We have the legislation. It's just like with the dealing with the ghost guns. This is a concerted effort that we all have to take ownership and try to do what we can. So as you've done with Pastor Jones, is having your own garden. That's what you should be doing. For many of us, also, since the pandemic, we've been storing, making sure we have emergency provisions, except if something should happen, then making sure to be prudent in the way we do things. But it's also to stand in the faces of the legislator and also the powers that be, that they need to do a better job of food, how they're distributing the food, but then also calling them out when they do the genetic engineering of pigs and all these others, because it's just unnecessary, unless we add in the other thing of climate change, which is causing droughts in locations that would normally have had a lot of water. So that's another factor that's coming up, where it's either war, it's either climate change, or it is drought, or even some sort of dispute over land rights, which is making it difficult for folks to grow things overall, along with trying to avoid having to deal with pesticides, and then also doing it in the natural way. So the decentralization of how we get our food would probably be the best answer, because then everyone could make sure that they're fed. So until we get to that point, then it's best, as you've done, to take matters into our own hands, store, first pray, then store, and then prepare for further confrontation so that we can change the rules to make it fair for everybody. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Amen. Praise God, from whom my blessings flow. To all my people that are... Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Professor Rings.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You are quite well.
Okay. You know, I just want to get continued prayer for the show, and there are some very demonic people in the world, and when sometimes when people see you doing good and you're doing something right, they want to sabotage it or try to do something to mess it up, but you can't mess up God's work. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care what you do. If God is in it, it's already done. It's a done deal. And I praise God. This show has been on for many years, and I don't care what people say. I'm not going to stop telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. And, you know, it's just so sad that, you know, out of all the people in the world, the most people that attack each other is black people. I don't know why, but we always talk about what the white man is doing to us. It's not the white man doing it to us. It's we doing it to each other. And I'm really praying about that, because our people, we got to wake up. You know, if you can't have your way about something, then keep moving on. Don't get mad and try to, you know, do whatever you think you're going to do, because God is going to have the last word. Our God, in the name of Jesus, will have the last word. Let's get back on topic and let's get back on point. Is famine in America? Is famine coming to America? Without further ado, Brother Clarence M. Allen, please take the floor. Share with us, is famine in America and is famine coming to America? Go right ahead, brother.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Eddie, for another hot topic. Depending on your class of life, your status of life, you know, famine is either on the horizon or it's there. You know, when we look at China right now with the lockdown and COVID-19 situation or the coronavirus and all those other mutations that's over there, it's locked down. People can't get the food. When we look at Africa, man, there are places where it's hard to get food. When we look in Europe right now and even where the war is going on, food is becoming a difficult source to acquire. It goes back to what you said earlier in the show. There are certain things we're not seeing on our shelves. The prices are getting higher. The packages are getting smaller when you do find a product. You know, the Snickers look like it's getting smaller. It's now $1.19. It went up 20 cents over these last few months for that small candy bar. So, you know, it goes into what Professor Reams was elaborating on, the food desert. You know, when you look at Amazon, Whole Foods is closing some of its markets right now. And you know, this is just a disaster. Another topic you touched on was you were on your patio and you're looking at growing your own food. We was kids, a lot of us had our own gardens in our backyard. Some of us had our own, even our own poultry products, growing chicken. We were growing chickens and raising all kind of other things on our properties to make sure that not only was it a nice habit, but if you had to have something to eat, you can go right into your own very yard. And so when we look at, man, the difficulties, the homeless situation, people are living in poverty, lifestyles, can't afford food. They have to go to food banks. Food banks are having a challenge with getting food. And so I was looking at this article. It says Feeding America, which operates 200 food banks across the country, estimates that as many as 42 million Americans, 1 in 8, including 13 million children, 1 in 6, may have experienced food insecurity. And that was last year in 2021. And then you compare that to 2019, it compared it to 35 million, including 11 million children. So it's growing. It's expounding. Every year it's getting worse and worse. And so, yes, it's here. But we thank God for the provisions we have now. Thank God for the supply lines that continue to move and supply our stores. Because if our stores shut down, when we run out of the supply in our house, man, it's like just cutting the lights off across the city. We'll all be living in the dark ages. And man, people will act crazy when they get thirsty, when they get hungry and want something to eat or drink. So, you know, we just have to be thankful for what we have now. Pray for that thing to get better. And another great hot topic, Pastor Eddie. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You know, is famine coming to America? Thank you so much, brother.
Amen.
The regulator.
Thank you. You know, I want to acknowledge how important it is for us to be in preparation for the famine that's coming. It is going to come, and it is going to put people. It's going to be more homeless people, more than you ever seen before. I mean, I just don't understand. You know, the United States of America, we're giving billions of dollars to Ukraine for a war. We got a war going on right here that we need to fight, and it's called homelessness. That's all. I'm going to leave that right there. Without further ado, I'm going to go to Tawana Jones. Tawana Jones. What do you think about famine in America? You go in the store now, there's a shortage of everything. You can't see and find certain things. Go right ahead, take the floor, and tell us what you feel. Go ahead. Hello, Vera, are you there? Vera, did we lose her? Vera,
hello?
Are you there? Yes, yes.
Yes,
go right
I'm
ahead,
here.
Vera.
I heard you say Tawana. Oh, okay.
Oh.
But yes, Eddie, famine is here. So one thing that's really important for us to think about is clean water, because we've seen in other countries where they don't have clean water. They have to drink what's dirty and where mosquitoes are or many other things. And I do like the idea, Eddie, that you are planting your own food and veggies, your herbs. And then it's really important for us to kind of go back in the day what our ancestors used to do. Our ancestors, they planted and they grew everything. So we have to use our skills now to do some of those things. Another thing is stockpiling, not like overwhelmingly, but with non-perishables, medical supplies, get your camping gear out, and make sure you have a grill on hand. And then again, it's a great thing to make sure that we have some canned fish like tuna, salmon, or the mackerel, the rice, beans, different dry baking goods, peanut butter, and canned veggies. Because, yes, famine is here, and we must put our hands in the dirt and grow more.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Vera. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Vera.
Dr. Granny B has spoken.
Yes, she has. Now I want to go down here and see if I can, I don't know, some kind of way we lost Tawana. That's okay. We'll get back to her. Oh, there she is. Tawana, are you still there? Are you there, Tawana? Hello, Tawana. Hello. Okay. We'll get back to her. But anyway, without further ado, we're talking about famine in America, famine coming to America. Yeah, famine, if you ask me, I'm looking around right now. I'm looking at the price of food. I'm looking at the price of gas. I'm looking at everything is so high that people won't be able to maintain. And they're doing it on purpose. It's not an accident. So we got to get ready. I want to send a shout-out to Taisha Green right now. Feel better. I hope everything is going to be all right with you. Don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come. And everybody loves you. The okay. family loves you. Yes. Hello? Yes, hello?
I just said love you to Aunt Aisha.
Oh, yeah, yeah, praise God. Yeah, Tawana, we were calling on you. We want to know what you feel about famine in America and famine coming to America. How do you feel about that?
I'm just going to repeat what I said in my first statement. It's already here. It's yes, I do believe that it's not coming. It has already made itself present. And the famine has just been the weirdom of communication in the world, the innocent children and families losing their lives, families not having their fathers in the homes. The jail system is broken. Well, I mean, the government system is just corrupt. Everything has been toiled with. So I believe we're already here. And like I said, the more stronger God's heavenly army gets, I feel he's getting closer. So I pray for all of us right now, because through that is you have to have the full armor of God. You have to be able to understand that we are in a spiritual warfare. And in order to be able to succeed through this warfare, we have to keep our prayers up in the air and keep our faith moving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Tawana. Well said. Amen. Very, very well said. Really nice. Really nice.
Yeah, Tawana. Well said.
Yeah, wow. Wow. Well, I am just like really adamant about this subject right now, because a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, famine, all this food, it's not going to happen. You know, it's funny how stuff just happens all of a sudden, just like One day we had nothing to do with coronavirus, and then the next day coronavirus took over the world. In just a few days, coronavirus took over the world. So nothing, don't be surprised. It can happen so soon. Next thing you know, they'll be evacuating people, and you just never know. If they call martial law over the state of California tomorrow, what would you do? Do you have an emergency preparedness kit? Are you ready for something like that to take place? And if you're not ready, you got to get ready. And, you know, speaking of getting ready, I just happen to have a list of emergency preparedness lists here that I want to share with you really quick. 1 gallon per day per person, 3-day supply for evacuation, 2-week supply for home. We're talking about water. 1 gallon per day per person and 3-day supply for evacuation and 2-week supply for home. Food, non-perishable, 3-day supply for evacuation, 2-week supply for home. Waterproof matches, in case you want to get start a fire to cook food or whatever, stay warm. Waterproof matches, fire starter lighters, etc. Tools to shut off utilities such as gas or water if leaking. A manual can opener, not an electric one because the electricity might not work. You need whistles so you can blow a whistle if you can't be found or somebody gets trapped. Dust mask, N95 or surgical mask, goggles, and latex gloves. Deluxe family first aid kit, flashlights with extra batteries, battery-powered or hand-crank radio, an NOAA weather feature with extra batteries. Medication, a 7-day supply of medical items that you need for your medicine. A multi-purpose tool, scissors, and a knife in case you have to cut your meat or whatever you got to do. Sanitation, famine supplies, and personal hygiene items, copies of personal documents, a medication list, pertinent medical information, proof of address, a deed or a lease to your home, passports, birth certificates, and insurance policies. Cell phones with chargers, but the cell phones just might not work. Depends on if they shut those down too. Family and emergency contact information. You need to have all your family contact emergency information together. Emergency blankets, maps of the areas, and a compass. Emergency reference book and on what to do. And it says an emergency plan for the family, whose house you're going to meet at, two-way radios, medical supplies, glasses, contact lenses, syringes, if you're diabetic or you have to take shots, baby supplies, baby formula, baby food, and baby diapers. Pet supplies, because if you have a dog or a cat, you're going to want to take care of them. So make sure you bring their bowl and their leash and their ID. Again, two-way radios and walkie-talkies. An extra set of car keys and house keys. A portable solar charger so you can charge things. A water filtration system so for your water in case you got to, drink this, water and it's dirty and you want to purify it. Tents and blankets and sleeping bags. Rain gear, towels, work gloves, tool supplies for securing your home, plastic sheeting, duct tape, extra clothing, hat and sturdy shoes and boots, household liquid bleach, plain but not scented, can be diluted and used in an emergency disinfectant. And I can go on and on with all the things you need, but that's just an example of some emergency preparedness stuff that you might want to write down and put on your list if an emergency pops up, where there's an evacuation of the city or whatever. These things are unpredictable when it comes to our government, but we need to be prepared for they're not going to tell you, oh, we're going to have famine because they don't want to panic all the people. They don't want the people to get panicked, but yes, they are going to – there is famine in America right now. So I'm going to leave that right there, and I'm going to go to – Professor Reams, you want to close us out on this topic? What do you think about what I said about the emergency preparedness kit, Professor Reams?
Oh, having an emergency preparedness kit is great. This is it is definitely necessary. We have our emergency preparedness kits for minor things that are going on, but you need to have one. And it is necessary when you're anticipating the surprise and or what may happen in the future. So I strongly encourage that, along with having your own earthquake kit as well, which should be in your car at all times, and also one in the house. because then whatever other emergencies will occur, then you have both the change of clothes, you have the items needed for you to survive with your blankets and your food and everything that you've listed in this kit. And so you want to always have a sense of being ready for anything each and every day. And I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Amen. Praise God. We're going to close out with that right there. We're going to move on to our next topic. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. Our next topic is the chemtrails that are in the sky that are being released by airplanes in all of our cities across not only California but across the United States. They do these chemtrails. Here's the question. What's in the chemtrail? What can it hurt the human anatomy? What are they raining down from the sky? Is it something that can it has to do with COVID-19? Is it something that has to do with cancer? What are they showering down from these chemtrails in the sky? And I'm going to start off with Brother Clarence. Brother Clarence, please take the floor. You see these airplanes all day long doing chemtrails across our communities. What do you think are in these chemtrails?
Yes, thank you, Pastor Eddie. I worked around aircraft. I was aircraft refueling in the Navy, and I remember back then where you see that white trail coming from behind the aircraft, and I also remember when they used to spray out neighborhoods when we had insect infestations of certain, like mosquitoes. They would come and spray our neighborhood, and I think when you look back at that, it was probably just the beginning. But as you look into these chemtrails, some people take it as a conspiracy theory. Some people take it as a reaction fact of life. And so when you see aircraft, jet fuel in these aircraft, and it burn off, and it has to have an exhaust. Are they mixing anything mm-hmm. with that fuel? Are they mixing anything that can be added to the exhaust where it formulates into that cloud, into that moisture where it slowly settles to the ground and it can affect us? Just the exhaust from the fuel alone over a period of time can be harmful to us. We can, just the CO2, the carbon alone that it exhausts. But with these chemtrails, it is believed that some of these aircraft have been supplied with chemicals. So as they fly, they drop certain particles over our neighborhoods. Just a couple of years ago, there was a aircraft that left LAX and had to have an emergency landing, and you can land with so much weight. And so this aircraft, it dumped a lot of fuel over the landing pathway in Los Angeles, went Southgate, Watts, Inglewood. Some of it went over schools, and a lot of people was affected by the droplets of just straight jet fuel. And so when you look at these chemtrails, man, it's a lot to investigate. It's a lot to learn from, to inspect, and also to work on protecting ourselves. How do we protect ourselves from chemtrails would be my question. Since the pandemic and we've been wearing these masks, there's some protection with that when you go outside. So, other than that, trails, they are going to be here, whether it's something, a chemical, a pesticide, a poison, whatever, they could or could not be adding to this. We must protect ourselves with our health, because without air, man, it's impossible to live. And without good, clean air, it will make us unhealthy. So, this is another great subject matter, hot topic with these chemtrails. So just beware and be aware. I was thinking about earlier,
when I was looking at this subject matter. When I was in Montana, you know, it's not as much air traffic as out here. But when I do see an aircraft rarely passing over the sky, I do see the exhaust of that chemtrail, you know. Is it harmful to us? That is a question that each and every one of us would have to do our own research and come with our own individual conclusions. But at the same time, we have to protect ourselves if a lot of air traffic in our areas where we live, such as these big cities, you know. The aircraft from Long Beach Airport goes right over my house. You know, I grew up in L.A. in Watts. The aircraft used to land there. You know, being in the service, I was all around it. So it's just been a long life experience for me, and, you know, it's another hot topic. So thank you, Pastor Eddie. Everybody protect yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much, Brother Clarence. I really appreciate those very uplifting, positive words. That information was really good.
Well,
thank you very much. Thank you. Very, very well said. I want to keep on discussing this topic right now. I don't want to stop. Chemtrails are everywhere, and you look up in the sky and you see it, and you go, wow, I wonder what they're dropping out of that airplane. You know, they have some crop planes that, you know, they fly over the crops and they spray stuff over the crops. But this stuff that they're spraying over in our area, we're not crop. We're human beings. So I'm going to go to Professor Reins. Professor, what are they dropping out of these airplanes with these chemtrails? Give us your take on it. Go right ahead. Take the floor.
Well, I agree with the regulator, with Clarence, because, of course, I come also from an aircraft family, and I also fly radio control airplanes overall. And when you look at the mixture of the fuel, I mean, the components of some aspects of lead, which is in the fuel, and in sulfur. And the issue is that many of the chemtrails are happening at 25,000 to 40,000 feet. Now, you made a good comparison. You have the chemtrails, which are up into 25 and 40,000 feet. They have found that many of these chemtrails are also contributed to global warming because, of course, they shield us from the sun overall, so it's not helping. But if you combine whatever the particles that are coming down and you look at where the area is, because if there's any old manufacturing places in poor areas or with a lot of the, like, petroleum plants, many of these plants are also dumping into the air at the same time that you have the chemtrails coming in. So today we're having, if you look outside, we're having an overcast. So the clouds are covering everything up, and then something will come into the clouds overall. When this stuff comes to the ground, the wind and jet stream have moved all these particles all over the place. It's hard to distinguish whether it's the particles from the chemtrails or the particles that are coming from plants like petroleum plants, which are miles away, which have been carried by the wind into our neighborhoods. Like, for example, many of the children who were close to oil plants and all of these things, because like Clarence, I'm also under Long Beach Airport, but then back in the day, LAX was also there. The thing was the quality of the air in itself, because many of the folks who were born next to these places, like you know, my kids overall, develop upper respiratory problems, you know, from allergies all the way up to asthma, and that we had to work hard to help with their rhinitis and things like that in order to compensate for their breathing. So you look at it from that end of when they're burning the fuel, that's not helping. When you get to the city level, how our industry is burning and distributing the waste from the plants is not helping either. And then there's a period where many of the plants and even some of the sharecropping will blow in. As you remember, we had that tornado incident where you saw trees at 35,000 feet. Yeah, the wind is always and the air is always circulating. Good Lord made it where the earth can filter itself. But because we keep dumping things into the air, we could also be receiving things from other countries that have come into the jet stream. So it's a combination of factors along with the chemtrails that doesn't help with our breathing. So the
the focus that we have to do is be very mindful, because there are periods with any of our plants, even with stores that are next to us, where they will just do a big dump. You might have a smell in the air, and that usually occurs from 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. while people are sleeping. Well, that's also dangerous because it's getting into our airs and lungs and could poison us in some way, shape, or form if you have an allergic reaction. So coming back to the regulator and his thoughts, we have to individually see how whatever the particle is affecting us personally in order to identify what's going on. Now, if we're finding that the air quality is part of our neighborhood, that was a complaint that Long Beach and Carson had, where they were complaining and saying that we have to move this, or we need to put some more filters on them, or regulate, if I may use the word, the exhaust, and is there any way to identify a filter so that when the chemtrails are coming out, that it's being caught and not put into the atmosphere. So in the end, the air quality is the air quality, but I believe that the chemtrails do contribute to the existing air quality that we've been fighting with for a long time. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Professor Rains. Thank you, Professor Rains. And again, I say this with complete confidence. We don't know exactly precisely what's coming out of those planes, but not all of it is good for us human beings. Even breathing jet fuel is not good for you. And that stuff comes down into our community. It comes down on our clothes. It comes down on our cars. It comes down in our plants. It gets into our pets. It's just not good. So we have to be careful every single day. You know, hallelujah, praise God. You know, I just thank God. I just really praise God right now because we're just getting the word out to the people, telling them exactly what's going on. And we got to share the word. And that's what your civil rights are about, your constitutional rights, your human rights, and all your other rights. And hallelujah, praise God. So without further ado, I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, what do you think about the chemtrails in the sky? What do you think about that?
Well, I don't feel that they are good for us because it is the unknown pollutants, chemicals, that we have no idea what's in it. So there has also been so many different theories. But I don't know what it is, but if I see it, I just avoid it like the plague.
Well, Vera, thank you very much. That was really short and sweet and right to the point. Thank you so much. Okay, Talana Jones, what do you think about the chemtrails and the stuff that they're dropping down in our communities and across United States?
I agree with our panel, and I just will extend my answer to say I do believe that they are altering Mother Nature and also possibly even the pollutants that are going from the chemtrails out into the air not only, you know, alter the weather, it also alters people's behaviors as well. So I believe it does have some type of effects that we don't know about, but we need to educate ourselves more on what chemtrails do and how to either maneuver or learn how to possibly talk to our powers that be to find out if they can stop. And if we do stop with the chemtrails, can we continue on Earth, you know, normally, without global warming being any worse than what it already is. Thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you very much, Talana. I appreciate that very, very much. It's so beautiful. So, I mean, like every week, you know, and a lot of people think it's easy to just come up with some topics and talk about them, but this is not just something just to talk about. This is something that's important for us to talk about. Important for us to discuss,
important for us to educate others so that they will be knowledgeable and wise with wisdom of the things that are coming, because things are, they're coming. And we just, even though we don't want to see them happen, they're happening. And we have to always be in preparation to deal with those things. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. I want to shout out my sister, Sheila Timberlake. I just want to say thank you for your support, you know, and always praying for us and always blessing us. Hallelujah. You know, just praise God for people who always pray for you and always looking out for you and always, because we all need prayer. All of us need prayer. And working in the civil rights arena is not easy. Doing civil rights work is not easy. It's not easy. So I'm just going to continue to do God's work, continue to lean on God and hold on to his never-changing hand, and still bring you guys the subject matters and the topics that we need to discuss these matters. At this time, we're going to go into our regular segment of the show. I just went a little over today because I was excited about the things we were talking about. But without further ado, it is time for the different segments of the show. But I want to start off with health and wellness. Vera, please take the floor. Give us health and wellness. Take it over, Granny V.
Okay, so today I wanted to speak to you about your senses, about our senses. And are there 5, 6, 7, or even more? And to begin with our common senses, what if you didn't have one? What would life be like? So first I wanted to begin with sight, because we watch, we look, we explore. We watch what is physical, and we look at the rays of the sun, the stars, the moon, and we focus on clouds, mountains, and what we see within our peripheral vision. And remember, we have our tear ducts that are cleansing, whether it's from sadness or joy. That's sight. Sound, we have our eardrums. Be attentive by listening to one another or one another, and the roaring of the ocean, music, the sound of harmony, and listening to nature, the birds chirping. And many singers and musicians, they close their eyes so they can hear a note of music. Smell. Think about this as beautiful as you can. It's a wonderful pleasure. Take time to smell the roses, fresh laundry, a baby. Or have you ever smelled a skunk? Steam some essential oils, prove your sense of smell, and you can use something like eucalyptus, lemongrass, or something like sauteing some garlic, some fresh onions. You can imagine that smell with some cilantro. Taste our tongue, our taste buds. We have over 2,000 different buds of tasting. And just think of kissing someone that you love and tasting your food by chewing it slowly and enjoying. And to chew your food at least 20 to 30 times before swallowing. Our sense of touch, which is our skin, our largest organ on our body. Is it hard, soft, rough? And what is the feeling of greatness when we receive a hug, because we all need touch? And how about our sixth sense plus more? Because more than likely we have more than 5, 6, 7, 8 senses. We use our pituitary glands because it has nerve cells and endings. We use our sense of our sixth sense of prayer, meditation, our sense of knowing, memory, rage, greatness, awareness, fear, and of course, the unknown is known. Closure is balance, because sometimes we're unbalanced. And it also trains us to be more aware by practicing mindfulness, which keeps us strengthened and grounded. And it connects us more with our heart space, our chakras, our soul, our spirit, our body, mind. So try this. In closing, try this. When you get the opportunity this week, dance with your eyes closed.
for one moment. Listen to the sounds of footsteps of someone in the house walking. And then again, last but not least, allow someone to lead you around the house, indoors or out, for 5 minutes blindfolded. And there is a sense of trust. So this will lead you to guide and use all of your senses more. Amen.
Amen, amen. Let's give a big hand for Granny V. Very
nice.
Doctor has
very, very nice. Very, very nice. Very nice. Very nice. And at this time, that was so wonderful, Vera. I needed to hear that. We all needed to hear that. Even the listeners needed to hear that. At this time, we're going to go directly to Talana Jones. Talana Jones, take the floor and give us words of wisdom. Talana Jones, go right ahead.
Thanks, Dad. Okay, guys, today, as I share words of wisdom, I thought about some of the things that I heard today, and I just want to share. I hope this resonates with everyone. There is a sense of urgency that I can't come down from to understand, to be sitting very close to understanding what it means to be in my right mind. Sacrifice is what has got us here. I am truly a survivor of God. I see the places that are falling apart. I pray that God bring back what was, where we came from, that we be significant, not famous. If we want God to lead us, we have to obey the word of God, and acknowledge Him. To watch your team if you want to succeed. To be significant, you have to have sacrifice. The moment you become ready to keep on your path, you can't lead. Oh, let me say it right. Remember that you cannot lead without love. Watch how you treat people. When you pray, move your feet. Prayer leads to abundance, prosperity, eternal life. Pride leads to desecration. Remember to be privileged and to give with humility. Humility is cultivated through adversity, to be reminded to always be humble, for God is the reason why we are blessed through any situation. He allows us to be faithful to ourselves and to others. I thank you guys so much, and I pray you enjoy it.
Wow, thank you so much, Talana. That was very nice.
Talana. Yes,
please. Very
nice
job.
Very, very nice. Very nice. That was so wonderful. Thank you very much, Talana. That was really wonderful. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, and we want to keep it going. So without further ado, we want to go to our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen, with his book, Regulate the Manual, and his other book, The Haunted Soul Brother. Please take the floor. Give us Regulate the Manual.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to the co-producer, my co-host. Especially thank you to all our listeners and to the Almighty God. Thank you, Pastor Eddie, for allowing me to share this, Regulate the Manual. We started out with the year in the beginning with the gangs. I've been through the gang members. We read some of the gang bangers. You know, I thought this year I would, and I think I might have done the same thing last year, but start from the beginning and take bits and pieces of this manual through it as we go through the year. And so starting with this being the beginning of May, we're going to start with the gangster. You know, there's so many different varieties and levels of gangsters. All of the mindset is that G in that gangster to spark us to go out and do what we do each and every day. But what is a gangster? What is a gangster to you? The gangster is a member of a gang of criminals. This is the definition that Webster would give you. A gangster is also a racketeer. A racketeer is stated as one who obtains money by an illegal enterprise, usually involving intimidations to carry on in a racket, to practice extortion, and there's more. Within this manual, we will use
the word racket as a fraudulent schemes or enterprises and their activities, whereas illegitimate activities are made workable through bribery or intimidation, an easy and lucrative means of a livelihood. Racket within this manual could also be termed as slang for an occupation or business. Let us also upgrade the gangster and put some new meanings to the name. Times have changed and things have changed through the years. Gangsters can also be a person who has the ability to handle and manage people, money, and things of all sorts. Gangsters can also be the person who has these abilities and characteristics without all of the wrongdoing and illegal racketeering. Can there be such a thing as an honest gangster? I believe that there are many gangsters who stand for doing the right things, and they operate with all honesty. I believe that there are some good gangsters who really exist. Certainly, there are even plenty of gangsters out there, and they do live and fight for the good of mankind as best as they can. Another name that you can call a good and an honest gangster is a hero. There are many heroes who have the heart, and they live the life of a gangster. It is the heroes who are the helpers for the stabilization of the civilizations, and they are the defenders of all mankind. There it is. Now you have your own personal picture of a prototype last action hero. Enough of the subject of hero for the time being. Remember, every piece of paper that you complete in turn is just one more step that you have successfully made. Continue along with your journey, and it will have to last you for your lifetime. Now is the time to take out your shovels. All of you gangsters know what is the primary use of the shovel. Within the manual, we will have a large amount of stuff to dig through, the world and the life of the gangsters. First of all, this message is for each and every one of you who are about to enter this realm, world, and life of gangsterism. Warning, once you are in the organizations of the gangsters, the word is, there is no getting out. The legendary stories have been told, and they also have confirmed those facts. These and many more words concerning the gangster's life goes on around in each and every town all over the world. These same stories have been passed down through the legacies of the gangsters for many years. Are you all in? Well, so far, you all have come a very long way, stepping your way through Regulate. And to my surprise, there are several of you who thought may have never made it thus far, but you have come through all of the muck and the mire, and you have made it. There are some of you who may be banged up a little bit. This is what makes you tried and true to the games. Some of the things that you had used to get you here, some of the same things you will have to use as a gangster. These are just a small part of the things that it would take to help make a better gangster out of you. These are just some of the things that a gangster is made of. All the years of gaining experience that one need to qualify come a gangster, the wins, the losses, and the narrow escapes. Those who have taken a payment to cover the cost of doing business with a gangster, the blood and the money it had taken just to pay the cost. Let's take a moment to explore the suffix of a word. The suffix that we will look at is the suffix "ster." There may be some questions for everyone to ask. There are some inquiring minds who want to know. There are those who have to take up the claim and the fame of being declared a gangster. The gangsters, they may have some questions too. What is your definition of stir? Have you ever heard of stir? Is there really such a person or a thing called stir? Do you have any stir in you? Now is your time to shine. Tell me everything that you know about the suffix stir. Stir. Yes, sir. Stir is definitely the suffix of a word. The word stir has its own meaning. Stir is a word that involves actions and practices. The level in the life that you are living does not make a difference. There is a stir somewhere around you, inside of you, and near you. And I'm going to stop right there, but if you want to go deeper into this word stir, because without it, you cannot have a gangster, So you have to go to regulatethemanual.com and read all about it. This book is written. You are in here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you got something that you can use along your walk in life. God bless you.
All right, Brother Clarence. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Clarence.
Well done, Clarence. Well done.
That was a very good
read.
You
got to pay them gangsters now. Don't have them gangsters come knocking on your door.
That was a good read. That was a good read.
The cost of doing a business with a gangster.
Without further ado,
I'm going gangster, Pastor. I can't help myself.
Oh my gosh, man, that's so funny. Well, without further ado, let's clear the floor and get our ears ready and get your pen and paper ready in case you want to take some notes. But before we do it, I just want to give you our scripture. Our word of the week. Our word of the week is perfection. Our word of the week is perfection. Write it down. Perfection is our word of the week. And our scripture of the week is Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Mark chapter 4, verse 39, and it reads, "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." The word of God for the people of God. You see, everybody was in the boat, and the wind was blowing and everything, and they were all scared, and they said, "Hey, Jesus, we're scared. The boat's going to blow over with the storm." And Jesus just raised his hand and said, "Peace, be still, and calm the waters." And I'm going to stand on that for today and make that applicable to your life. Peace, be still, in the name of Jesus. Mark chapter 4, verse 39.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And without further ado, it is time for the commentary. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. And once again, a fantastic subject. But also, I give all of my kudos and credits to the brilliance of our wonderful panel. And I'll thank them now from the regular Prophet Clarence Allen to Dr. Granny V, the doctors in the house, a beautiful, beautiful discussion about health and wellness, to Talana, once again, knock it out of the ballpark, dealing with the wisdom and the words that you've given us to take us through the week. It was also an honor to have Pastor Lori on to provide that wonderful, powerful prayer. And we'll start in with how that prayer was very impactful. Pastor Lori reminded us about the enemy and how the enemy has been put in place in order to destroy and to affect our children, and also pray that we were not going to allow that to happen and to take action to pull this back. And so the way that the enemy works, Pastor Jones also identified the topics that would show what we call a symptom of that, of the enemy doing work. And so we talked about the famine, we talked about chemtrails. But then, of course, Clarence, with his words of wisdom as well, not to mix it up with Talana, provided us that the gangster has two roles. You have the good gangster, you have the bad gangster, and that many of us are involved. We're going to be on the side of good, whether gangster or not, to try and protect and to serve and to go with the glory of God, because his, I would say, is the biggest gang that you want to be part of, because that's how it is written, that's how he's headed, and that is how we must follow with him in the direction that he wants us to go, which is how we're going to end. So when we get to the topic of the issue of famine, we're in a situation where things are out of control, but also it's out of our control. So we're seeing that God is talking to us that here are the things that are happening, but here are the things that you can't control. However, when you do HYB and you allow him and let him handle your business, then it results in what Mark 4 had said, that all of these things are all over the place. Everything is chaotic. Things don't seem to be making any sense. Folks are shooting each other, as we talked about earlier, with the 28 shots. And then we also have issues not only with people not being fed, but also the issue of chemtrails coming in and the chemicals causing people to act out as a result of the health effects that is occurring. You add that with poverty, you add that with hate, you add that with racism, and you can see that the enemy is in full swing, trying to make sure to dissuade everything, no different than the wind that was occurring during the time that the disciples and all were in the boat. But we also have
a reminder of how God works, because Dr. Granny B said, we have been blessed with sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and also the sixth sense, dealing with the ability to reflect, pray, and to also contemplate what our being is. And when we take the time to be led by the Lord, blindfolded, through whatever obstacles that are there, then you will notice that in that moment, everything becomes calm. Everything becomes right. Everything comes the pathway that the good Lord has laid out to us, because by being blindfolded, we have to put our trust in him. But he also says, you have to stand up and do your part. You have to walk. You have to protest. You have to be in the front line. You have to stay on that front line, as I've instructed you to, as well as what Pastor Jones has mentioned. Here the program provides a warning, information, that allows us to share with you what has been placed on our hearts that the good Lord wants to share with all of you, so that at least you know what's going on, so that when you get led through that pathway, through the Lord, then you can trust in him to guide you in that direction that he has seen for you. But you have to trust not only your five senses, but the sixth sense as well. And in doing so, we can now say, trust in the Lord with all your faith, because he will never let you down. And in doing so, that is the best gift that we have, that he's provided to us at the time that he provides it to us, during the time that he has prayed and made it ready for us to achieve. And that is the greatest gift that the Father wants us to have, is our own peace of mind and connection with him. So everyone, when we unbuckle from this ride that we have, let's do what the good Lord is telling us. Let's get back to work and do it as leaders, because you can't be a leader without love. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Wow.
Outstanding.
Excellent.
Slamming the trunk to the limo.
Amen, amen. Yes, sir. That was an amazing. I got to tell you guys, even though we had a few interruptions, it was an amazing show. And I thank God that the minister, prophetess, Lori Minowitz came on, because we needed that prayer this morning. I just want to tell you guys, whatever you do, don't let nothing or nobody steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come. And also remember that the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so that there be no limits. But the question is, really, what's going on? Love y'all. Peace. See you next Monday.
Love you all.
Love you too.
Love everyone.
Love you all as well.
Man, my co-host. What's going on?
Mother.
There's too many.
There's two.
Oh, brothers,
there's far too many.
There's far too many of you done.
You know,
don't you know we've got to find a way
to bring some
love in here today.
Father,
we don't need to escalate.
War
is not the answer,
for
only love can conquer hate.
You can see.
Oh.